and to love, known also as the Queen of Sacred Music, or just plain Aunt May. She was born on March 23rd, 1820, in Southeast New York. During her lifetime, accomplished more than most people could in 10 lifetimes, despite the fact that she was totally blind. Yes, I said blind. You see, at the age of 6 weeks, a doctor used the wrong medication to cure a serious eye infection. Fanny's grandfather, Simon Fanny, was one of the founders of Harvard College, and her father died when she was just 1 year old. It was her grandmother, Eunice, who was determined that Fanny would not be helpless. She read her books and taught her to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible, most of the New Testament, many of the Psalms and Proverbs, the Book of Ruth, and the Song of Solomon.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. It was so nice of you to invite me here all the way from Bridgeport, Connecticut, just to help me reminisce about the old days and the hymns that I wrote in my later life. Oh, yes, I did say my later life. Why, you see, the first part of my life, I had become a famous poet. Why, my poems were published in newspapers and magazines. I even had several poetry books published. It wasn't until the second half of my life that I began this hymn-writing career. And do you know what they say? Why, they say that I wrote over 8,000 hymns. Well, they're right, in a way. You see, I wrote many more than that. For a while, I was the only writer for the publishing firm of Bigelow & Mayne out of Cincinnati, Ohio. They didn't want the other publishers to know they only had one writer on staff, so I wrote under some 250 pen names. You see, all through your hymnal, there are songs under the name of Frances Jane Crosby or Fanny Crosby, but there are also hymns under the names that I made up. Why, it was amazing, nothing short of amazing, how the words did flow when I finally allowed the good Lord to use me. Now, with the help of our MC, let me share a little bit about my life, and oh, I'll add a few of my hymns as we go along. Why, I remember at the age of 8, I knelt down and asked God if my blindness would exclude me from being one of His children. And then I said, in all of your great big world, do you have a place for me?
Yes, little Fanny, God did have a place for you. A place no one could have known. A very special place.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know who holds my future, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know who holds my future, Jesus doeth all things well.
It was spring. Fanny had to hustle to keep up with Peter. His footsteps rustled through the meadow grass ahead.
Why, Peter, are you sure you know where we're going? See, Fanny, I told you we'd find horses. Oh, a horse snorted just ahead of me. I loved horses. They were my most favorite creature in all the world. Well, with a boost from Peter, I was on Beauty's back, and across the meadow we went. We had a lovely afternoon riding until I dropped the reins, and Beauty lunged forward into a rocking horse canter. Oh, I grabbed her mane and pulled my face down close. I knew she was headed for the barn. I listened to her feet as they pounded on the grass, and then on bare ground. Why, that meant we were in the barnyard. Then sunshine turned to shade, and I knew we'd entered the barn. As Beauty came to an uneasy halt, I slid off of her back. It was then that I heard this. Frances Jane Crosby, why, you bad little girl. Shame on you for disgracing your poor widowed mother. Shame, shame, shame. Why, Mrs. Shaw grabbed me by the hand and pulled me down the walkway in jerks. She said, where's that rascal Peter? He must take you home right now. Well, I struggled to pull free. I said, I don't need Peter. I can get home just fine. Fine, I'll do it myself. Well, off she went, pulling me behind again. You know, I remember thinking, how could such a heavy lady walk so fast? Well, it wasn't long until we stepped onto the road. She said, now here's the road. Keep the sunshine on your right cheek. And with a little push, I was on my way. Mrs. Shaw's voice got farther and farther behind me, but it didn't slow up a bit. She said, shame on you. Shame, 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 Fanny Crosby. Why, your mother should have taught you that little blind girls cannot ride horses.
Fanny, her mother, and grandmother now live with the Hall, a very wealthy Quaker family. Fanny's mother was their name. Mrs. Hawley decided to tutor Fanny, and she learned many things from her. She was amazed at the way Fanny could get about. One day during their session, Mrs. Hawley said, Frances, you are a remarkable young lady. God has special plans for you. I believe He has permitted your lives in order to serve His purposes, whatever they are. Frances was to learn a very important lesson.
Why, she had several hundred rose bushes in her front garden, and I might pick from any of them except the white ones. Now, I know some of you are wondering, how could I possibly tell the white from the red and the yellow and the pink? I could tell by their smell. One day, a friend of mine was over, and he was determined to have one of those white roses. I told him no, but he insisted, so, well, I gave him one. Why, wouldn't you know, at that very moment, Mrs. Hawley was watching out her window. Later, she called me to her side. She said, Frances, do you know who picked the white rose from the bush yonder? I said, no, ma'am. Why, I have no idea. And I thought she'd put it aside. Well, later that night, she read me the story of Ananias and Sapphira. From that moment on, I told no more falsehoods to my good friends. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, oh, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. Well, there were a lot of things in this world that I didn't like, but the world thought I did. I was like two totally different people, a bright, happy person on the outside and a grumpy, miserable person on the inside. Why, I'd said my umpteenth prayer to the Father for schooling. I was 14 years old and my friends were about to finish school and, well, I hadn't even started. And when I was just 11, Grandmother passed. And with Grandmother's passing went one of my brightest windows to the world. Why, it was Grandmother who taught me about birds and flowers and trees and all of the whole books of the Bible and all about people. And, well, just then Mother called, and as I made my way to the kitchen, I heard the sound of paper rattling. Mother said, the postman has just delivered a letter. It's from a school in New York City. New York City? Are you sure? It's called the New York Institution for the Blind. They teach only blind students there. Well, how can you teach students who can't see printing, I said. Mother said, I don't know, just says they do, and you may go if you wish. A school for the blind in New York City. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You have answered my prayers just like I knew you would. Why, how could I have ever doubted? Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all day long. Oh, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
4 months later, a cold March day, a scant 3 weeks before the 15th birthday, Betty awoke to a whole new day. It was the day she would go to New York with her mom. She was nervous and worried. The buttons wouldn't button her dress, and her shoes wouldn't go on. When she ran to the kitchen to eat, a breakfast was stuck in her throat.
Oh, I just couldn't swallow. Trying to eat was useless. Oh, I'll do anything for an education. But I haven't even left home, and already I'm homesick. Oh, we must remember. The violets come in the spring, and the roses in the summer, and the rose violets in the spring, and the roses in the summer.
Fanny has been at the New York Institute for the Blind for 1 year.
I was learning many things, and I had made many friends. I had found that this had become home. Why, it was truly wonderful, marvelous, to what a degree the mind could be trained. Oh, why should the blind be regarded as objects of pity? Darkness may indeed throw a shadow over the outer vision, but there is no cloud, however dark, that can keep the sunlight of hope from a trustful soul.
It was the spring of 1849 when Pollock reached New York City and the blind school. Fanny became a volunteer nurse. There was very little that could be done Fanny helped one of the doctors make some remedies. One of them was composed of 3 parts mercury and 1 part opium rolled into pills. At any symptoms, a generous dose was given and proved to be efficient. And half of the school was 20 cases. It's 1850. Fanny has been at the school for 16 years and is now a teacher. 6 years ago, she had published her first work titled A Blind Girl and Other Poems. She has read her poetry before both the House and the Senate, and she has been to the White House on many occasions. Her poems were published in the Saturday Evening Post and the New York News. She excelled at the guitar, the organ, and the harp. She could knit beautifully, and she has even established an excellent business relationship with the famous composer, George Ruth. He writes the music, and she supplies the lyrics. Their popular songs are being sung all over the country. Fanny is still unfulfilled.
Why, I'm 30 years old. I'm doing all that I want to do, and still there remains this empty, incomplete feeling deep within my heart. My life is full of the finest things possible. Why isn't that enough?
It was 1851 when Fanny's piano arrived in the 13th Street Methodist Church. There is a revival meeting.
The revival began with prayer, but my mind was far from that prayer up front. Then they began to sing hymns. Oh, hymns were my favorite form of poetry. Why, a joyous wedding of words and music. Then the revival preacher began to speak. I listened to his voice for some key word, some new explanation. Why, I'd heard it all before. Now, his voice did provide me with some good definitions of mercy and grace and more blessing than one deserved. Then he ended his message and called out to those who would repent and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, I had made this trip to the altar twice before, carrying all of my burdens with me, and twice I carried them back to the pew because nothing had ever happened. Well, this evening was coming to a close when I found myself once again slipping into the aisle. Oh, I needed the guidance of no arm, for the flow of people carried me along. The congregation began to sing a hymn. I knew it well. Why, Isaac Watts had written it many years before. I listened to the phrasing as they sang. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Well, I don't remember ever seeing light. I don't know the difference between light and dark. And the burden of my heart rolled away, they sang. Well, my heart knows many burdens. Oh, I watched all of those students die of the cholera. And then I have that empty, incomplete feeling. It was there by faith I received my sight, they sang. Now, this song was written by a sighted man. So obviously, the sight he's referring to here is a spiritual sight. Oh, how I would love to have that. And now I am happy all the day, they sang. Well, I was happy, but that was just an act. And Isaac Watts wasn't writing here about false fronts. I listened as they sang verses 2 and 3, and then this was verse 4. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. The debt of love I owe? Here, Lord, I give myself away. Why, 'tis all that I can do. That's it. That's it. All these years I wanted God's grace, but I wanted it Fanny's way. Oh, most of all, I wanted to do it myself. Oh, I just hated when others had to do things for me. And yet here I was, kneeling before a large congregation, and God was asking me to submit my whole life over to Him, and, well, I must surrender. Why, I was trying to hold on to the world's way in one hand and grasp God's way in the other, when all of a sudden I realized that Fanny Crosby could not save Fanny Crosby. Why, she must surrender her whole self over to God and allow Him to do His work through her the way that He wanted to. Oh, a light flooded my soul, a light brighter than any that might ever flood the eye. Why, the day that I entered the New York Institution for the Blind would no longer be the happiest day of my life. This day would. This day right here. Oh, I remember that evening, that empty spot shriveling in the light, because Jesus is the light. Oh, that evening I stood to my feet and threw my hands into the air and sang with the congregation, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, many, many years later, as I reflected upon these very moments, I wrote these very words. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, sing it with me, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Sing verse 3. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Well, it was spring once again, and with June came the violets and the roses and that funny little flat seed popped off the elm tree, followed by tender little new leaves. Why, a voice spoke to me from behind. It was Mr. Van Alstyne, the great piano player and teacher from the blind school. Would you join me for dinner tonight, Miss Crosby? I shall, I said. Ooh, a date. Woo! A date! Finally! finally a date. I thought this day would never come. Why, Fanny Crosby, you're 37 years old and you're acting like a schoolgirl. What is the matter with you? Shame, shame, shame on you. Oh, but over the next several months, we spent a lot of time together.
On March 15, 1858, Fanny and Van were married, and it was decided that she would keep her maiden name, since it was well known. But she would use Van Alstine in private. In 1859, they had a baby, only to lose the child in infancy. This was perhaps Fanny's greatest misfortune, and they never spoke of it. 1868, spring, violets, Fanny's favorite violet. She hurried down to the ferry as she thought, why must New York be built in so many places? You had to go by ferry everywhere. Mr. Doan had given her a tune more than 2 weeks ago, and she had thought and thought and thought, but was blank.
Well, I thought about my song on the ferry, but it was much too noisy. And I did most of my thinking late at night when the rest of the world got quiet. Oh, since night and day were pretty much the same to me, I didn't need a schedule ruled by the sun. I was going to the Manhattan prison that night with my church group. They would be conducting a service, and well, I just simply enjoyed going along. One minute we were in pleasant air, and the next we were crowding through heavy doors of gloom. To keep my mind from feeling trapped, I forced myself to think of better things, like butterflies and spring breezes. Why, when I was just a child, grandmother caught a butterfly. She made me touch it ever so lightly. Why, its wings were little more than stiff, fuzzy paper. It didn't buzz or vibrate like a fly. It flittered, and I could feel its wings beat. Why, I remember raising my hand and feeling the butterfly lift away, flying free. Well, I was shown a chair, and the service began. I listened to the men's voices as they sang the hymns. They knew them well. That meant they'd been exposed to the Word of God before. If they knew right from wrong, then why were they here? Oh, then my preacher began to speak. Oh, he preached a lovely message, one I like to call straight gospel. You know, some preachers try to sneak up on the gospel so quietly they miss it. Well, he ended his message that night and called out to those men who would repent and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The room was very crowded, but men were moving from every direction. I could hear their feet shuffling on the floor, when all of a sudden, from way in the back of the room, one of the prisoners cried out, "Oh, good Lord, please, oh, please don't pass me by." Why, that was it. Had I not followed the will of God, had I not gone to the prison that very night, I never would have heard that one anguished cry. Oh, I put my full mind to prayer for all of the prisoners, but especially for that one who so yearned for Jesus. Several days later, I sent the completed lyrics to Mr. Doan. Oh, it became an extremely popular song. I believe you still sing it today. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Oh, kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. heart calling, do not pass me by.
Without further comment, I present Miss Betty Crawford. Betty smiles. The visitor took her hand. She was speaking tonight to an audience of down and out men at a crowded downtown mission. She enjoyed this. Betty spoke at the YMCA, the prisons, at the Bowery. She called them her boys. It was true that her hymns had brought God's message to thousands of people, but there was nothing like doing it personally. The room was small, the air heavy. There was a unique smell to the men who had not bathed recently, and everyone here qualified. Fanny didn't mind the smell, but several ladies from her church refused to be there. She reminded herself again how God loved these men. Jesus did not die just for proper folks and fancy ladies.
Well, I began my speech that night, my comments all lined up in my mind and my little book in my hand as usual. But for some reason, my tongue stumbled. I paused for a moment, and then I had this sudden curious urge, and I heard myself say, "There's a young man here tonight who has turned his back on things of God and his parents. Would this young man please see me after the meeting here tonight? There's something I'd like to say to you." Oh, my. Why did I have the need to say that? And what would I say if indeed this young man appeared? Well, I began my speech again, and it flowed along freely. After the meeting, there was a voice at my elbow. It was young and slurred. He'd been drinking. He said, "Excuse me, Miss Crosby, but I believe I'm the young man you spoke of." I said, "I believe your mother is a godly woman, is she not?" "Oh, yes. Yes, she is. I mean, she was. I said, no. Once a soul belongs to Jesus, it's with God forever. Here now, let us kneel down." I remember that evening I knelt down on that filthy floor, and that young man had no choice but to follow because I held him in a firm grip. As we began to pray, I remember that I had turned my life over to God some 19 years before, and I wanted every word and every move to be his, yet tonight was different. It was as though I were a pipe carrying life-giving water from God to this young man. When we finished our prayer, he stood up, and his voice burst out, not at all like at first. He said, "Now I can meet my mother in heaven, for I have met her God." With a gentle squeeze of the hand and a goodbye, he was gone. I felt a bit confused, but I also felt a warm glow of happiness. Later that evening, as I rocked in the quiet, I savored the memories. Oh, I didn't know this young man's name, but God did. Oh, but what if I had not gone to the mission that night? God might have used someone else, and I would have missed this delightful blessing. Perhaps that no one would have gone that night. This young man might still be lost. Oh, late that evening, I rocked in the quiet and put together the words to a new hymn. This one I did not write for the lost. This one I wrote for God's people. Oh, this one I wrote for those ladies who refused to come in and witness because of the smell of the men. This one I wrote for the men throughout the world who were either ashamed or afraid to mention the name of Jesus in public. Oh, this one I wrote for all of God's people who should be witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere they go, with everyone they meet, no matter who they are or where they've been or what they've done. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Oh, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Sing verse 3. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. back to the narrow way. Oh, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Sing it again. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save.
1873. Fanny has received many letters from people in England who were praising her song, "Cast Me Not Into the Sea," that was being sung to the revival. How she wished she could meet these two men. The seasons passed and melted into years. Fanny was writing more hymns than ever. Some passed quickly, some calm. The most popular seemed to come during very peaceful moments. Like the day in 1873 when she received a visit from one of her favorite friends, Phoebe Nash. Phoebe's husband, Joseph, had founded a Metropolitan Life Insurance Company.
Well, we visited for a while, and then Phoebe sat down at Van's piano and began to play a tune. She said, "Fanny, I've written this tune, but I just can't find any words to go with it." "Oh, tell me, Fanny, does God give you any words?" I sat down by the window in my rocking chair with the sun on my face, and in the next 5 minutes, I put together these words. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, a purchase of God. I'm born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. I'll be praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Oh, there's angels descending. They bring from above echoes of mercy and whispers of love. Sing it with me. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Stand and sing verse 3. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. I'm filled with His goodness. Oh, and I'm lost in His love. Sing it to the Lord. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. You may have a seat. How wonderful to sing with God's saints once again.
That has become one of the most beloved hymns of all times. In 1875, Fanny's wish came true. Mr. Moody and Mr. Sankey had scheduled an evangelistic meeting right here in Brooklyn.
Why, I heard that the place seated 6,000 people. That meant that tonight there'd be 5,999 and Fanny Crosby. Oh, I wondered if Mr. Sankey would sing my song. I heard that his lovely voice did wonders for it. Almost immediately, I thought, shame on you. Now, here you are wanting something to puff up Fanny. But then the crowd fell silent, and Ira Sankey's water-smooth baritone voice was filling the room. Oh, and he was singing a Fanny Crosby song. Mr. Sankey had found one of my poems and had asked one of the country's best-known songwriters, George Stebbins, to put music to it.
That song, Saved by Grace, was an instant and lasting success. After the service, a man approached me, took her by the hand, and said, do you remember me? He was the young man from the Bower she had led to the Lord so many years ago. He had been preaching the gospel for some 35 years. In 1914, dissolved itself in 1950. Over in Europe, nations were warring with each other. Over here, Congress was arguing about whether to get involved. Fanny still wore her little flag pinned on her dress, but the flag now had 48 stars. The country she loved was growing up. February 11, 1915, Fanny didn't feel like getting out of bed at all. She said, when you're going on 95 years old, you can lay in bed all day and no one will complain. She could not just lie there. Her whole life she had suffered from the inability to just sit still. She thought for no particular reason about that doctor who, 94 years ago, had applied his mustard poultice to her inflamed eyes. How could he have guessed? He did Fanny a wonderful service. Service?
Oh, absolutely. Why, if that doctor had not contributed to my blindness, I might have just cruised through life like most sighted people. I probably would have been a housewife and mother like my own, working very hard from day to day. I surely would have never written those hundreds of poems or autobiography or thousands of hymns. I wonder, what did that doctor look like? But what did my own mother look like? Well, what did I look like? And what about Ira Sankey with those Scotch-style whiskers running down the sides of his jaw? Or D.L. Moody with that wiry beard? Or Phoebe Knapp, oh, bless her soul, bouncing around sop full of energy? Why, I'm just as grateful in a way I didn't see these people, for I'll see them completely in heaven when they're complete. Oh, but the first thing that my eyes will truly feast upon will be the face of Jesus. Oh, the Bible promises. And I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. Well, if there are friends in heaven, perhaps there'll be violets as well. Oh, violets have always been my favorite flower. And I know that they're purple, but that's just head knowledge. Why, I have no idea how purple differs from yellow or green. Oh, I do hope there are violets in heaven. I so want to feast on them with my eyes as well as my nose.
The clock struck midnight downstairs. It was now February the 12th.
It's much too early in the year for violets to bloom, yet I think I can smell them. Well, my mind must be playing tricks on me. I can definitely smell violets. If there are friends and violets in heaven, perhaps there'll be horses as well. Oh, yes. In John's Revelation, he wrote of seeing those horses. Oh, and the prince himself rode upon a snow-white horse. Horse again and feel its bare back flexing and swaying beneath me. Why, I remember so many years ago getting in trouble with Mrs. Shaw for sneaking rides on the horses. You know, they say that when one dies, angels come leading the way to heaven. That must be a glorious way to go. More than most, I'm accustomed to being led. I even look forward to it. I wonder, do you suppose by some special request, the angels might come fetch me on horseback?
Fanny Crosby was safe in the arms of Jesus. Fanny was honored with one of the largest funerals ever held in Bridgeport County. People stood in line for blocks to file past the
Davenport prayed at great length. Dr. Brown said, "You have come to pay tribute and to crown a friend." There must have been a royal welcome when this queen of sacred song burst the bonds of death and passed into the glories of heaven. The honorary pallbearers were Ira Sankey's son, Alan, Bette's son, Hugh Main, composer George Stebbins, and family friend S. Ravenna Jackson. Children not one-tenth Fanny's age sang her hymns. The choir sang Fanny's favorite hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. Then they sang some of Fanny's hymns, Safe in the Arms of Jesus and Saved by Grace, as many wept openly. Everyone at the funeral was given a violin. As they passed by the coffin, they placed their violin inside the casket. They say it seemed as if she were sleeping in a bed of violets. And, oh yes, Mrs. Shaw of so long ago, little blind girls can indeed